So I hope you'll stay for that. It's very important to honor the Lord in taking the Lord's Supper. Verse 21 says very simply this, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And it goes on and says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. There's no end to what you can worship if you deny that God exists. There's all kinds of things you can worship. But the thing says here that the downhill run is when you do not glorify God as God, if you're not thankful to Him, and you become vain in your imaginations, and that means really good for nothing in your imaginations, and then your foolish heart was darkened. Now, the opposite of that is how to be successful in the Lord. Number one, glorify God. That includes coming to Christ as your own personal Savior. That's the way to heaven. There is no other way. If there was another way, I would tell you, and I'd tell you loud and clear. But there is not. Jesus Christ is our way to heaven. Through the cross of Calvary, His shed blood, and His burial and His resurrection, and His coming again, is really the ticket for us to be with Him forever. So we need to glorify God as God. He is the only God. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. He's the one that we're responsible to. We're not responsible to any other God, but the God in heaven, the Father in heaven, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We are to glorify Him on a daily basis. We are to, and secondly, we are to be thankful. Thankful people. We are to remember what God has done. We are to remember what He's going to do according to the Scriptures and what He's doing now. So we should be thankful on a daily basis. How many people are just grumble all the time? They get up, they grumble when they get up all the way to the time that they go to bed. Christians do that sometimes, sadly. And because of that, they never accomplish what God wants them to accomplish on this earth. And now today, I'm going to talk about, very simply, the imagination. The imagination is the place in your life that God works or the enemy works. The imagination is a kind of a combination of your mind, your thinking, and all of these things together, because in our mind, we really live by what we picture in our mind. We are always seeing ourselves in some condition, good or bad. You can see yourself sick. You can see yourself a failure. You can see yourself all kinds of things because of possible things that happened in your past. Or you can see yourself standing in Christ, armed with the sword of God, the Word of God, doing what God wants you to do on this earth. You can see Christ coming. And He's coming for you in the clouds at the rapture, and you can see yourself with Christ forever. Now, which way are you going to look at your life? Which way are you going to picture your life? I call the imagination the womb, W-O-M-B, the womb of your soul. Everything in your life is conceived in your imagination. So it's what you put in is what you're going to get out. It's really that simple. Now, in this situation, I want you to look in 1 John 4:17. 1 John, not John, 1 John. It's after James, Peter, 1 John 4:17. Now, I want you to keep these scriptures in mind. Write them down, make a note of them, look at them during the week. Put this stuff in your mind. It will change your life. That's what the Word of God does. All right, 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, that's Christ, as He is, so are we in this world. You know, it's an interesting thing in the time of Christ. Jesus was out doing the works of God. And you say, what are the works of God? Well, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was teaching the Word of God. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. He was raising the dead. He was bringing people to the Father. That's what He did. And you know who got mad at Him? The local church. The local church got mad at Him. It was actually the synagogue, the temple. It was the Jewish leaders who were supposed to be teaching the people the things of God. But instead of that, when they see Jesus doing the works of God, then they want to kill Him and put Him on an old rugged cross. And that's exactly what they did. Because He was doing the works of God, they were doing the works of man. That's called religion. It's trying to get to heaven by your own works, trying to get to heaven by your own rituals and all the things you go through. And they're the ones that put Him on the cross, the religious folks. Jesus was down there, and basically what He was saying, I came down here to show you what to do, and then I'm going up, and you're going to do it. Are you listening to me? The Bible is not complicated. It says that very simply. He sent them out. At first he sent out a few, and He sent out the 12, and then He sent out the 70, and then He sent out the 120, and then 3,000 got saved, and 5,000 got saved, and they were going all over the world doing the works of Jesus. And within 100 years, the known world knew about Christ. No TV, no internet, no radio, none of those things. And the known world, 100 years later, knew about Jesus. So we think the way you do it is we come to church, we learn the Word of God, we go home, the rest of the week we do our thing, and then we come back on Sunday, we learn about God, we go during the week, and where are the works of Jesus? You see. And we are the ones that are going to stand before Jesus and account for the time after we got saved. We use all kinds of excuses. Well, you know what happened to me back there 10 years ago? You know what happened to me while I was growing up? All this kind of stuff. And maybe some bad things happened. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus Christ came into your life, you got a new life. You started new right there. That old stuff doesn't count. Are you listening to me? That's not going to go over at the throne of God. Because He's going to say, what are you talking about? I forgot all of that. Are you listening to me? Now, we got to see ourselves as Christ was in this world. He said, I'm going to go up. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come in you, and then you are going to do my works on this earth. You're not doing it in your own power. You're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, the living God. Most churches don't even teach about the Holy Spirit. A lot of Christians don't even know the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't even know where the Holy Spirit's in us that's supposed to be doing the work of God. So that's why I'm having this message today. Now, He was healing the sick, cast out demons, bringing people to Christ, raising the dead. Does any of that bother you? It didn't bother Jesus. Usually what happens, we pray for one person, they don't get healed, we quit. We aren't about to pray for anybody that's dead to come alive, I'll tell you that right now. And I think you have to hear, there is a balance here. I think you have to hear from God on these things. But I'll tell you this, a lot of people die that don't have to because the Christians that were supposed to come pray for them didn't. I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. I'm here to get you on the wagon that's going towards heaven. Hallelujah. In this case, it wouldn't be a wagon. It'd probably be an electric-powered, some kind of a little thing that they want everybody to buy these days. You understand what I'm saying? The wagon got smaller. Let's look at John 14, 12. I'm giving you scriptures now to meditate on and say, God, give me the power, give me the power, give me the power to do these things. That's what I'm asking every day. Lord, give me the power to do these things. I want to do what you want to do on this earth. Now, I'm here to tell you, I agree, Jesus didn't heal everybody that was sick. But I'm telling you this, he healed everybody that came to him that was sick. Are you listening? Everybody that came to him that was sick was healed. Am I telling you going to heal everybody you pray for? No. But I'm going to tell you this, they're going to know Jesus was there. You see, that's God's business. We're just supposed to do the work. John 14, 12. This says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, wait a minute. Who's supposed to do it? Those that believe on him. How many believe on him today? All right. That's good. Now, that's what it says. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Verily, verily, that means this is important. Put a star here. I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. If you want to put a verse on the refrigerator, put that one on there. And look at it every time you go to the refrigerator door and say it out loud, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to start rising up in you, hallelujah, you see. And that's what it's talking about. I'm not talking about doing anything wild. I'm talking about doing the works of Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't know if I ever want to do this. You find somebody you love is sick, and you're going to get over there and pray for them. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you find somebody you love is dying, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be praying for them in the name of Jesus. But we're talking about anybody that God wants us to go to be healed. Now, we should talk about it, think about it. Picture yourself doing it. Can you picture Jesus Christ laying hands on the sick and they get well? Can you picture that in your mind? That's your imagination. That's the way we operate. That's what controls our life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what the Word of God says. But we got this thinking idea like it's just, well, thoughts in our mind. Well, it is, but it's also pictures in your mind. Picture Jesus touching people and being healed. Picture Jesus raising that little boy from the dead. The funeral procession was going along, and he walks over, and the mother's crying, and the little boy had died, and he reached over and told him, rise, and hallelujah. He got off of that thing. Don't you think there was a happy mother running around that place? Oh, man, I can picture that. Oh, it would have been wonderful. I'd have been saying hallelujah if I'd have been there. Praise God. He's still in that business today. We have some idea that was out when the apostles died. If that's true, nobody would get saved today. I say, if that's true, nobody would get saved today. You see, I'm just trying to get you fired up to do what God's called you to do, so when you stand before Jesus, you won't be there by yourself. That would be the worst thing, not have anybody to bring to Jesus Christ. You picture yourself doing these things. Can you imagine at the tomb of Lazarus? Can you picture that? You read that in the Bible, and And Jesus finally shows up. Lazarus had died. They already prepared him, wrapped him all up in all the things they do when a person died in those days, and the spices. And he was in the tomb. They rolled a stone over it. And Jesus deliberately stayed away till he died. You know why he did that? Because nothing's impossible with God. He wanted you to know that nothing is impossible with God. I'll tell you, if there's ever time we need to know that, it's today when the economy's going to pot. All these other things are happening. I'm here to tell you it's still true. Nothing's impossible with God. And he walked up to that tomb and he even had tears. You know, it was a sad scene. Everybody was there was crying, and Lazarus had died and they loved him, and he was a family was there and everybody, and it was... Jesus has feelings. Jesus has feelings for you. He has feelings for every person, particularly the ones that die lost. My, my, my. And he came up there and he said, okay, roll a stone away. They said, are you kidding? These were Christians, church-going folks. He said, roll the stone away. He said, whoa, Lord, it's been 4 days. He waited 4 days. 4 days, the body starts deteriorating. That was the idea. I'm here to tell you nothing's impossible with God. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Man, here he comes out. I mean, he's walking out of there real slow because he's all wrapped up in that stuff. That's a picture of somebody getting saved and they still got the old life. They need to get rid of it. Are you listening to me? They said, cut off the grave clothes. And they go and have dinner together. Can you picture that in your mind? I can. I'd have loved to have been there. I'd said, hallelujah. Okay. Well, what Jesus is saying, picture yourself doing the same thing. Now, I don't think I'd start out with raising somebody from the dead. I'd make sure I was full of faith before I tried that. You understand? But the deal is, we are to picture ourselves saying, Lazarus, come forth, or whoever it is. Spirit, come back into this body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If it's, you know, if it's somebody 100 years old and God says their time to die, well, then you just start praising the Lord they're going to be with Jesus. But if it's not time, then you better be praying they get raised. You understand? Somebody says, oh, man, this guy is a total fanatic. Well, so was Jesus. You haven't seen fanatic yet. I'm getting more fanatic every day. Closer I get to Jesus, the wilder I'm getting in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to do the works of Jesus. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I'll pray for anybody. I'll pray anywhere. You see, if they don't get up, I'll say, well, give me another one. We'll try it again. I mean, we are, you know, we Christians are a bunch of mealy-mouthed, unbelievable. Got to be careful here. I have to confess it. They're just, you know, we just don't have any guts. That's why this nation's in the mess it's in. The church hasn't been doing what it's been called to do, or we wouldn't have this mess in Washington we got right now. I'll tell you that right now. Do I hear an amen? It's time for the church to rise up. In the name of Jesus. My goodness. Well, you know, you can at least pray for somebody that's got a cold. I say you can at least pray for somebody that's got a cold. See yourself doing these things. Visualize it. Absolutely correct. Picture it in your mind. See it done. You know, if you want to get a raise at work, see yourself doing the work and being great at it, and the boss is paying attention and all these, see it and then do it. What you see is what you're going to do. What you see in your mind is what you're going to do. That's the important thing to remember. You see bad things, you'll end up doing them. You see good things, you'll end up doing that. That's what the Word of God says. I'm teaching you basic Christianity here. See yourself doing what Jesus did. You know it's happening all over the world except in the United States, because we're too healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, that's changing. You know, if necessary, God will change it. So you start doing what you're supposed to be doing. Are you listening to me? If this country has to go down the tube so there's 100,000 warriors for Christ spread all over the world, he'll let it go. There's a reason these things happen in some people's lives and it doesn't happen in others. And I'm telling you what they are. If you don't see it on the inside, you won't see it on the outside. It's got to be conceived in your mind first. Your mind and imagination is like a camera. It just takes pictures all the time. And those pictures are inside of you. And you'll start doing what those pictures show. And that's why, as I've said before, somebody like David, who was taking care of his sheep, won a battle and none of the soldiers could win, because he saw himself running over that giant and heading for the other four brothers. Are you listening? He saw himself taking this giant and going after his four brothers. He saw that. And so it wasn't a problem. He did it. Now, we see things all the time with our eyes. We see all kinds of things, and some of them we ought to hang on to and some we don't. But we need to see into God's Word. We need to meditate on it. We need to conceive it within. We need to let it burst something inside of us. There has to be conception. The Word of God, if you take that in as the seed of God, it will burst something. It will be conceived, and you're going to burst something out of your life. That's why I say Christians that come to church on Sunday and don't read their Bible during the week are going to fail. Can I say that again? Christians that don't read their Bible, not in the Word of God, not thinking about the Lord during the week, are going to fail. I didn't say you weren't going to heaven. You're going to have to stand before Jesus and explain the mess. I hope I got a little bit of time yet. I want to try to straighten out the mess in my own life. I want to get on this myself. I want this to be working in me. Are you listening? So I don't want to die yet. I want to get a whole lot better at this before Jesus comes. Are you listening? I want this to be happening every day in my life, not just once or twice a week, every single day. Now, if you can see it in God's Word, if you can meditate it and picture in your mind, it can happen in your life. We're not just making up something. We're not just deciding, well, I want to be like Donald Trump. I don't think I would. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're going to conceive in us what God wants us to conceive. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody's going to do the same thing, you see. If you want to know why, if you consider yourself a failure up to this point, then I'd be listening this morning. I don't care what happened in the past. Doesn't make any difference. It's over the dam. Okay, now, I want to see people doing the works of Christ. Now I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to show you some negative imaginations in the Bible and what happened. Look at this. Genesis 6:5. You say, well, where is this stuff in the Bible? Well, we're going to look and see. Don't take my word for it. Okay, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Look at this. I'll wait to get there. Genesis 6, 5, first book of the Bible. Now, here's what it says. And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented God that he made man on the earth and grieved him in his heart. He said, I'm going to destroy this mess. Now, let's say this together. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There it is on the negative side. Now, guess what can happen if you're positive with the Word of God, and God's not only, he's not only going to say, I'm not going to destroy you, I'm going to build you up, hallelujah. I'm going to multiply you in this life. I'm going to multiply a new world. Get your imaginations right. Get it on the right thing. Picture the right things in your heart. If you got the wrong things, get it out of there. You can control what you think. Many Christians have an encounter with the Lord. They're born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, but have an evil imagination. And they say, this Christian life just doesn't work. No, that's not it. You're not working. They have an evil imagination. They often see negative things contrary to the Word of God. And they're not productive in God's family. They see themselves failing. They see themselves angry. They see themselves bitter. They see themselves rejected. They for cause of past things usually. And so they don't have an imagination that's going to create the things of God. And the Christian life is for them a failure. I didn't say they weren't going to heaven. I just said they're going to stand at the throne of God and they're not going to have anything to say. That's the issue. God sees the imagination and thoughts of our heart. That's what the Bible says. God looks on the heart. He looks on the imagination. He doesn't look on your outside. He looks on the inside. It says that in the Word of God. 1 Chronicles 28:9, Old Testament. Okay. Kings, Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 28:9. I'm trying to show you what the Word of God says. If you're listening, say amen. All right, 28:9. Here we are. Now look at this. This is God speaking. I love this. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? All the imaginations. That's what I'm talking about here. Now, he says, searches all the hearts and understands all the imagination of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if thou forsake him, he'll cast you off, is really what it says. So this whole thing is in the imagination. This is so important. It is so basic. Now, half a dozen times in the Old Testament, God said, I'm going to destroy them because they have an evil imagination. That's what he said. Time after time, for his own people. I didn't say they didn't go to heaven. He got them off of this earth. He took them out. He said, you're out of here. Your imagination's so evil that you're messing up the body of Christ. You're messing up the church. You're messing up my image on the earth, and I'm taking you out. That's what he said. Now, people focus on what to do. They say, I can't go out and commit. Somebody's always saying, well, you know, I just can't go out and commit adultery. I can't do those things because Christ doesn't want me to do it. And then they constantly fight it because it's in their heart. Now, listen to me. This is important. It's like having a physical relationship and conceiving in the womb and having an abortion, and you do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. and you just say, I get so tired of this battle, I just get so tired of fighting this, because I'm doing good on Sunday, I fall during the week. I'm doing good on Sunday, I'm falling during the week. I'm going to tell you right now, you got an evil imagination. That's why you're falling. Are you listening? I'm talking to Christians here. And I've battled this stuff myself. So, I mean, all Christians do, but you have to understand how it works. Look in James 1:13. We're going to race through the Bible here, and I'll try to hurry up, not be too long. Now, of course, we've got the Lord's Supper. But I think this is important. Amen?
Amen.
All right. James 1:13. You have to understand this thing. You have to get this. Now, here we go. Look at this. James 1:13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Then lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. It's conceived in the imagination. It's conceived in the mind. It is conceived, and therefore it's going to be born in your life if you have that in your imagination. I don't care if you're a Christian or what you are. If you have the wrong stuff in your imagination, the womb of your soul, you're going to be a mess as a Christian. Now, you know, we battle things, and a lot of times our own fault. I'm going to tell you how to avoid this stuff, avoid this battle that goes on. Now, it's what you conceive and meditate on, what's going to come out of your life, Christian or none. Whatever you conceive and meditate on is going to come out in your life. Now, most of us do not recognize that our imagination, part of our soul, is where we conceive things, where things are born in our life. That's why the Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. You believe in this part of your being. That's where it's conceived. That's where salvation comes in. Now, now listen. Now I'm gonna start meddling. Aren't you glad you came? There is very little on TV today you can watch that doesn't put evil in your imaginations. Well, I just bought a big screen, and I got HD. Big deal. Movies, same way. Books, whatever. If you put that stuff into your mind and imaginations, taking a picture of it, which your eyes do and your imagination does, and then you say, I just can't understand why I'm battling all these sexual problems. And well, you've been watching too many sitcoms. You've been watching As the World Squirms. You've been filling your imagination with evil. And then you wonder why you can't get your life together with God. You got to smile when you say things like that, or it offends people. I'm preaching to myself. So we don't recognize that what we're taking in with our eyes, what we're taking in with our ears, we don't realize that's conceiving things and birthing things in our life. God's not being mean. God's trying to tell us why we have the Ten Commandments and all that stuff, and they're still in effect. It's to show us whether or not something is the right thing to watch, to hear, to listen, to do. Because certain things bring evil imaginations and certain things bring good things. Now, all these things are painting pictures inside of us. You ever go, Yeah, if you ever look in a TV or something, you see a big expensive house, and you go in, and they got all these paintings on the walls, and a lot of times they're paintings of themselves. But there's other pictures there too, and so someplace you go in, the whole thing's full of nude statues, and nudes on the walls, and all that kind of junk, and then. Now, come on, I'm not opposed to looking at a beautiful woman, but that's not the place. You understand? That's why God made them. But the issue is, you fill your imagination and heart with all that stuff, guess what? How are you going to stay married? You know, and here's another thing. You can dwell on the past and constantly picture in your mind somebody that hurt you, or somebody that raped you, or somebody that molested you, or somebody that stole your money, or somebody that broke into your house, or somebody that did something to you, and you can meditate on that junk and picture it in your mind if you want to, but it'll destroy your life. You will never be what God called you to be. And I'll tell you, it's particularly bad when you're alone. And what Satan does with people he knows he can get with this stuff, he will isolate them. He will isolate them. Oh, I just don't want to be around people. You know why you don't want to be around people? Because your mind's full of evil junk. Either from the past, stuff you're watching now, or whatever's going on. Internet pornography, it will destroy you. Why will it destroy you? Because you watch it, it goes into your imagination, you watch that stuff, you'll never be satisfied with one person ever. And besides that, it'll just destroy your mind, it'll bring darkness to your soul, and if you're not saved, you won't be, and if you are, you might be taken out early. Well, did we come to have church, or what did we come for today? Well, I'll take that back. The pews might not fill up quite as quick as I thought they were going to after this message today. All right. Now, well, I got to quit here. It hadn't even got started. This will give you a chance to decide whether you're going to come back next week. Because I didn't get this done. Now, I'm not trying to be smart. This is probably the most serious stuff I ever preached in my life. This is probably one of the most important messages I ever preached in 34 years of preaching, 36 actually. Because it gets down, as they say, where the rubber meets the road. Well, I might finish. I'll hurry. Okay. It's what you put into your mind. Do you have peace in your life? If you don't have peace in your life, I'll tell you right now, you got the wrong thing in your mind. You got the wrong stuff in your imagination. And if you got the wrong stuff in there, you will not have peace in your life. And another thing it does, it allows the devil to come in, his demons, and they get a hold of part of your mind. And this tragedy gets hold of part of your mind. And this filth gets hold of part of your mind. And you don't have much to give to God. Your life is tied up in all this stuff. Now, real quick, Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. I'm going to try to hurry here. Man, it got quiet in here. I'm not the judge. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not. Whew. I'm doing good enough to judge myself. Isaiah 26:3. I want you to look at this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Now let's say it together. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace,
whose mind
is stayed on thee,
because he trusts in thee.
Take responsibility for your imagination. Nobody else is going to. You got to do it. You can't blame your problems on somebody else. It's your imagination. You have to take responsibility. Now, you can let it run wild, think on anything it wants to, any negative thing you can find, and I'm going to tell you, you'll have problems. I'll tell you another way you can tell you something's wrong with your imagination. Satan will whisper one little negative thing in your ear, and you're devastated for a week. One little thing. He doesn't have to talk about the big things, just some little thing. And you're out of commission for a week. Now, there's some things you must just refuse to think about. Absolutely refuse to think about and imagine all kinds of bad things. Like I say, especially when you're wrong. You got to be careful what you read, what you watch, what you see, and so forth. All this junk about, did I marry the wrong person? What difference does it make? You're married. Get God in the thing and it'll be good. I mean, all this junk comes from everywhere. I mean, there's all kinds of voices in this world. Do I have the wrong job? Who cares? Do the best job you can at what you're at. Do what your boss wants you to do. Put yourself under his authority in Jesus' name. I don't care if it's a good boss or a bad boss. Doesn't make any difference. Quit being babies in Christ. My goodness, I can't believe some of the things that go on. I can tell you right now that God wants to destroy, the devil wants to destroy you with your imagination. That's exactly the way he works. He destroyed the imagination of Israel, and God scattered them all over the world. That's exactly what happened. Believe in what God's words say, meditate on it, act on it, never see yourself a failure. You won't be tempted. See the Lord working it out in your life. See your prayers answered in your mind. See yourself in victory. Picture the good things God has done. Instead of thinking about all the bad stuff, I can tell you right now, if you get by yourself and automatically go back to all the bad stuff in your past, your imagination and mind is messed up. And you need God. You ought to be in church every time the door opens, every time the Word of God is taught. You ought to have Christian television on. You ought to be playing Christian music, whatever it is, to get your life together and forget about as the world squirms and all the rest of that stuff.
Amen.
You know, I used to like CSI Miami and all that junk. I got so sick of watching dead bodies. I said, this is not good for my imagination. And so we don't watch it anymore. You have to take control of your life. You see, and I'm telling you what you have to meditate on. Oh, hallelujah, I see that bright light coming. Hallelujah. I see the clouds. I see glory coming down. Hallelujah. And it's Jesus coming again. Hallelujah. He's coming for his people. He's coming for you and I. Oh, he's there to meet us in the air, and he's going to give us a new body. And we're going to be with him forever. We're going to be married to the Lord. Hallelujah. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. In fact, this earth's not going to be good enough for you. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get there. It's going to be wonderful. This life is temporary. This life was never supposed to last forever. It's just a training ground to get it together here so you're going to enjoy it there. Hallelujah. If you believe that, say amen. Let's stand before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I can get excited about this.